The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. Today, no war has been declared. And however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the second hour of today's episode of Road Warrior Radio. This Friday, July 7th, 2023. And it's Friday, so we'll go to the phones. Before we do that, just a little something. And, you know, this patriotic stuff post-Independence Day is, there's kind of a, you know, so you think you're free. Maybe in homage to Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free and other books like it. But, you know, so you think you're free. You know, we touched on some stuff. I hinted at some stuff earlier in today's broadcast. Maybe we'll get back to that next week. Probably not today. Not all of it, certainly. But I want to give you a hint of, at least a hint of what I'm sort of talking about. Here is an excerpt from the end of the True Stream Media video titled "A False Accusation Just Got a Man Locked Out of His Smart Home." And I would sort of subtitle this excerpt, "So You Think You're Free." Speaking of the tyranny of convenience, can we play that clip, please?
I wonder if humanity is really prepared for demanding once again that the just powers that these entities have are derived only from the consent of the governed, period. That is how that relationship works. Or is humanity walking off into a future where convenience is more important than liberty?
We had a choice a long time ago between having all them nice things or freedom. Of course, they chose comfort.
But comfort is freedom. The whole history of civilization is a struggle against poverty and need.
No, that's not it. That's never been it. I mean, them privileges just buy us off.
Just a thought.
So, you know, the new freedom, right? Freedom from want. The new freedom. Just a reminder. Who was it? Was it Warren Buffett, Samuel Johnson, Maria Edgeworth, Bertrand Russell, Anonymous? Who said the chains of habit are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken? And that seems where we're headed. back to the phones. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Happy Friday.
Yeah, morning. Happy Friday to you.
My brain is spinning after listening to Mike from Kentucky. I'm the other Luddite with, what used to be a copper-lined phone. I don't know now that the guy last September broke all my phones from the phone company. But I still have the one jack that works. Actually, I've been thinking of so many things. This guy, Abram Verity, how do you spell his name? You tell me how to pronounce it because I hate reading something I can't pronounce. Verreide, and I think he's Norwegian. How would you pronounce that? Verreide.
Verreide?
Verreide, okay. He actually used the term New World Order back in 1935. He became the first Verreide, father of the family.
Which... You're talking about...
Abram. His first name's Abram.
From Norway?
He was originally from... Yeah, I think from Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
I think his name is spelled Verreide, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, he was considered like the... grandfather of the family after the first guy died, and they started the National Prayer Breakfast, and back in the 30s coined the term New World Order, you know, under the name of religion.
Right.
I love this upside down world in which we live while everybody points fingers and makes it the other people and the World Economic Forum when they also attend the World Economic Forum or send their people to attend. Mm-hmm. It just amazes me.
Yeah.
Actually,
I think it's also interesting. Speaking of, I think it's Verreide. I don't know for sure, but you know, speaking of guys like him, it's interesting how you know because he was the founder also of the International Christian Leadership Group. And so, you know, these groups basically sort of de facto assume themselves the, you know, spiritual leaders of society. And what's fascinating about that is that people go along with that and don't ask questions.
And they've turned Christianity upon its head.
It is theosophy.
The last thing I was going to go to is to thank you for not promoting that damn movie that everybody needed to go see the 4th of July because there was only going to be the one showing of it, but now don't worry.
Yeah.
It's all every, and
we need help, and suddenly, guess what? It's everywhere.
And the people with The Chosen produced it.
Right.
You know, so you got
Angel Studios.
You got to think about
which
what
angel?
You believe.
Angel of Light, maybe?
I wouldn't say the name.
2 Corinthians 11, Angel Studios, perhaps?
Whatever.
Maybe.
You know, corrupt. If we don't know the truth, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, this is why I want to talk about, I mean, I'm sure you heard me mention the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I think I've heard it recently, and I don't think people... understand. There's a wonderful article. I think it's pretty great. See if I can find it real fast. Where is that? Here it is. Mark Jones, guest contributor over at desiringgod.org, Why Jesus Needed the Holy Spirit, published March 12, 2019. I would say an excellent article. I was asked to by a close friend to watch a video recently. I'm not even going to mention it because I don't want to encourage anyone to even watch it. But the gentleman who was being interviewed said something crazy. There's all kinds of stuff like this floating around out there. But you know, he says Jesus did not perform any miracles. Christ performed miracles, and basically splitting the personhood of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, into two separate people, I would call that blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, as folks who read Mark Jones's article will discover, if they don't already know, if you understand the manhood, so to speak, of Jesus, that he was fully man, and, you know, this person says, you know, Jesus didn't perform any miracles, Christ did. Well, you know, something interesting happened that was recorded in all four of the Gospels. The Spirit descended on Jesus when he was baptized, and, you know, in bodily form like a dove, the Bible says. And after that, he starts performing miracles. So was it by the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes, it was, I believe very firmly. And so basically you're denying the Holy Spirit when you say what this person, that again I will not name, is saying. It's essentially doing what the Pharisees were doing in denying the work of the Holy Spirit. And to understand things in that context really rearranges people's theology, I think. Instead of thinking, well, sure, he performed miracles because he was God, so of course, but the Bible says that he humbled himself and became man. We don't have any record in the Bible of him performing miracles before his baptism. And so I think, you know, again, I'm just going to leave it at Mark Jones. For now, I'll leave it at Mark Jones's article, I think, does a magnificent job of sort of unpacking this heady subject matter. And he even gives some things at the end, you know, what does this mean for us? Consider three truths among others. First, the Spirit's ministry to us comes from Christ. Second, the Spirit makes us like Christ. Finally, the Spirit glorifies Christ. If we understand this concept, it is very encouraging and, dare I say, empowering to understand that, you know, we have the same power indwelling us. But it gets denied. And I think there's a lot more blaspheming of the Holy Spirit going on these days than most of us realize. Denying the work of the Holy Spirit, what should be attributed. And I think that also correlates to what I've talked about recently with things happening in what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. And, you know, Fred in Iowa reminding us of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. These things will, you know, that basically the son of perdition will be revealed when the restrainer is taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit. And why would that happen? It's these times where basically there is, not only is there not an acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit, there is a betrayal and a blaspheming occurring, attributing. I mean, think about, again, the stuff that I talked about before Mike's call, just in today's broadcast and others related, where we fancy ourselves as gods, or, you know, even with the stuff that Mike was talking about, with all of this technology now, we have layers of intervention where, you know, like Mike was talking about with children and parents having these phones, like little tether things, where is the opportunity for God to be God? Where is the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in these things? And this goes right through ostensibly Christian circles just as much as anywhere else. Because like you were saying, you know, in my words, I would say most churches today in America are theosophical by design. They're not Christian, they're theosophical. They're satanic. And they don't even know it because they deny God. This gets to the heart of the question that I've been asking recently. I would say it's the most important question we can ask. Who is in charge and who decides? Because most of the time, it's man. Or at least, you know, we think so.
And we'll being controlled by some other spirit.
Exactly. And we'll try to play it off in some kind of way, which gets to my point this morning about the convenient, rationalizations and justifications. Happens all the time. I mean, you know, we can't let these people suffer. Again, back to that clip that we just played at the beginning of the second hour. We've been hearing for 100 years since Woodrow Wilson's The New Freedom and before that, you know, the new freedom is the freedom from want. And so anytime there is, you know, somebody perceives that there is some kind of disparity or whatever that we can exploit, then we should say, oh, this is an injustice, and we have a right to this and a right to that, and who decides? And that's always, you know, manipulative anyway. And even if it was genuine, we bump into George Bernard Shaw somewhere along the way telling us that those things have strings, those privileges, and you have to justify your existence in order to, you know, deserve them. So where is the opportunity for God to be God? Where is the opportunity today for the stories like Joseph, who is thrown down a well by his brothers, pulled out only to be sold into slavery, then spends, you know, the majority of his adult life in a foreign land, largely, you know, let's just call it pagan, away from his family, which I think is a pretty, despite the dysfunctional nature that we read about, you know, a pretty tight-knit family. His father certainly loves him. And after all of this crazy stuff that he experiences, his brothers show up and basically say, oh boy, he's going to kill us for sure. And he says, guys, don't worry, you know, don't fear not. As for you, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, that many people would be saved alive. What a mature response to years of, you know, exile. And what would today's Freudian neurotic culture do with all of that? You know, there would be programs and entitlements and things, and, you know, society would intervene on Joseph's behalf, and that would not happen. You know, and then there would be government programs for the 7 fat years and the 7 skinny years, and it would all be messed up, but in none of it would God be able to move because of man's intervention.
Well, and even today, they twist that and interpret it and mean it also. I was reading something that was just like off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Just off the wall. You know, we don't take God at his word. Or people Mm-mm. say, oh, it's just all spiritualized. It doesn't really mean anything. No, mm-hmm. actually, God's word means exactly what it says.
Mm-hmm.
He means what he says, and he says exactly what he means. And he tells us the book of Revelation is to warn us of things that are to come shortly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
let's be a little aware.
Amen.
I actually wasn't going to share this part, but I would encourage everybody to read 1 John, especially chapters 4 and 5, because I was actually going to share something else, and I will if I have time, but which we're just talking about. Actually, in this book, The Family, by Charlotte, Sharlett, because this actually scares me. I've known about the Council for National Policy for a very long time, and their mm-hmm. great influence, but what I didn't realize was that they are actually born out of the family, and to started the National Prayer Breakfast, and every ministry that has anything to do with anything is involved mm-hmm. with this. And this is the same guy that came up with the term New World Order, not George Bush. But it talks about God-controlled supranationalism, his mm-hmm. prayer cells.
Actually, theocracy,
to do with nationalism, but
let's finish that thought when we come back, can we?
Okay, sure.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But
welcome back. In a parallel discussion, I would throw in many things. I was, you know, somebody that I dearly care about, a young man who is just sort of getting his footing under him about, you know, his Christian faith. Talk to me about reading some 12-step stuff and Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff, and I'm at some point probably going to have the Bill W. Bob Smith conversation, which is, it's the same conversation as Veridi and, you know, all of these characters. So the family is a Netflix show, right? I think Netflix did that series back in, what, 2019 or something like that. And so, you know, to me, this is, again, it's revelation of the method kind of stuff. And basically, for those who don't know, the book published in 1961 titled Modern Viking, The Story of Abraham Veridi, Pioneer in Christian Leadership, sort of gives you the idea. You know, this is the idea. Or how about the Mother Jones article, A Family Timeline, The Strong Shall Inherit the Earth. Not the meek, the strong. It's, you know, you were talking about the concept of God-controlled nationalism. We played that clip of Michael Flynn reciting verbatim Elizabeth Clare Prophet's speech, Satanist Elizabeth Clare Prophet's speech. And this is the kind of thing that's coming out into plain view. It's been happening for 100 years, obviously, in plain view. But I think some people are starting to really kind of wake up and go, wait a minute, what the heck is going on here? And Veridi is one of those types of characters, for sure.
He was also hooked up with Buckman. And right. Buckman was the founder of Oxford Groups. Oxford Groups, yep. The two women who wrote God Calling, AA encourages people to read that, and that was automatic writing. Same as Jesus Calling, because in the preface of the first editions of Jesus Calling, Sarah Young talks about God Calling being her inspiration. Okay, and if you read Jesus Calling, we don't romanticize Jesus that way. That is
blasphemy. And we don't
the book, other than some documentary that probably cuts out a lot. And the thing about Charlotte, Jeff Charlotte, is he was raised by a Catholic or a Christian mother and a Jewish father, but he actually knows Christianity better than most people. I have to tell you.
So does the
he
devil.
He can quote scripture. He knows it off the top of his head. And he's
so
a good journalist and writer.
Yeah, the devil quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus in the wilderness. So,
But he says something that I think it was Buckman who said this. Human problems, his little group, he said to this little group, require, quote, a God-controlled democracy, or perhaps I should say a theocracy, end quote. Just as good, said Buckman, would be a God-controlled fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And down here, Buckman had taken the stage that evening to tell Manhattan's wealthiest that it could think of nations changed, he told his audience, urging them to imagine soul surgery on a national scale or something even grander, God-controlled supernationalism.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to quote a chapter out of C.S. Lewis's book, It Can't Happen Here. And then there's this paragraph.
Wait a minute. C.S. Lewis's book, It Can't Happen Here?
It Can't Happen Here. Okay, like, you know, World War II, all of that.
Right,
you know, we had the Ku Klux Klan, da-da-da-da-da. Now, actually, Charlotte goes on to say, and listen to this, because this was written in 2008, and think of today, and yet that fruit was never plucked. Like, we didn't become, you know, what was in the book, like all the terrible things, like Hitler, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, and so now this is Charlotte. And yet that fruit was never plucked. The United States did not then and has not yet succumbed to fascism. Are we going to go to a break?
Yeah, we're headed into a break. Stick around,
and
folks.
Then
we'll be right
back. Hurry and finish this.
Okay.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Welcome back. You know, if I didn't know better, I would say that this is what is shaping up as the new Crusades. And, oh wait, there was a letter. A guy, Albert Pike, wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini talking about colliding forces. And, you know, the Union Jack I mention from time to time, the prologue talking about this neo-Orthodox so-called Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. What is that? It's the revolutionary, it's the rebellion to God's spirit, and people don't realize that it's the new Crusades. It's the Christian Taliban. It's Adam Kinzinger's Christian Taliban. That's, you know, not to be too crass, but I mean, that's what is being created very intentionally. And the problem and all of the things that I'm talking about in this regard all tie back to, far too often we end up rushing off in our own strength. We're encouraged in America as Americans. It's in our DNA to, you know, somebody has to do something, but we do it without, you know, in the Christian sense, without checking in first. And far too often we rush off in our own strength, in our own name, really, but under the banner of, you know, basically Christian crusades. I didn't mean to hijack your point, Lynn.
No, I didn't want to interrupt. Okay, so the voice of reason in C.S. Lewis's book is this editor, a newspaper editor, and it talks about all the things about going off. I mean, Ku Klux Klan, Liberty Cabbage, which got me thinking about this. You know, back during the war, they had Liberty Cabbage, and somebody actually proposed calling German measles Liberty Measles. Okay, and he ends that paragraph on page 21 of C.S. Lewis's book. Why, where in all history has there ever been a people so ripe for a dictatorship than ours? Now, Jeff's writing. And yet that fruit was never plucked. The United States did not then and has not yet succumbed to fascism. Nor
now you're talking.
That matter.
You're not talking C.S. Lewis. You're talking Sinclair Lewis, right?
I meant Sinclair. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry.
My brain was twisted in the last segment. Okay.
Because I don't like C.S. Lewis.
I don't either.
I don't necessarily like Sinclair Lewis.
Exactly.
That book, you know, but still, right. It makes the point. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the United States did not then and has not yet succumbed to fascism. Now remember, written in 2008, nor for that matter does the contemporary Christian right embrace even a modern strain of national socialism. Many of the ingredients are there: militaristic patriotism, a blurry identification of church with state, a reverence for strong men, a tendency to locate such men at the top of corporate hierarchies, even a hated other. For American fundamentalists, Jews and Catholics gave way to communists. And now the populist front of the movement is divided over whom to demonize more, Muslims or gay people. And other elements of European-style fascism never emerged in the United States. Despite the nation's near constant involvement in one war or another for the last 60 years, it has never adopted an ideology that explicitly celebrates violence. Nor do we have a significant secret police force, and it is Christianity itself that has prevented fundamentalists, America's most authoritarian demographic, from embracing the cult of personality around which fascist states are organized. No matter how much the movement may revere Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush or the next political savior to arise, such men must always accept second billing to Jesus, the man nobody knows, in the words of Bruce Barton's 1925 bestseller, perhaps the most influential forgotten book of the 20th century. And where are we now? Where are we now? We do have people we revere. We do have fascist thinking. And then we have tech, which will take me. And just so you know, back 2012, and I asked God to show me anything that was wrong in my life, boy, mm-hmm. did I get an eye-opener and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about Bill W. and Lois, Lois's family was actually into Swedenborg. And Bill
Swedenborg.
W. used to sit on Sunday afternoons on his couch communing
Emmanuel
with
Swedenborg.
His spirit guide. Now,
yeah, right.
I actually had 30 years of 12-step experience when I got that eye-opener, and have read the big book a zillion times and knew that Rockefeller had financed it and didn't put two things together when I knew the both of them.
Mm.
Okay, now here's what I originally was calling about real quick, Out of the Battle mm-hmm. of Your Brain by that fair Haney woman that should have horns. Silicon, I'm going to read page 194. Silicon Valley, not surprisingly, has aligned itself with transhumanism. Google. Think Kurzweil. He works for Google now. Well,
mm-hmm.
probably owns it, but was an early investor of the biotech startup Calico, which is, you know, a cryonics company, but which also hopes to answer the most challenging biological questions of our time. The billionaire and venture capitalist Peter Thiel has invested heavily in parabiosis, blood transfusions from younger, healthier individuals to ward off aging. And has even signed up with the cryogenics company, Alcor. I meant Alcor is the cryogenics company. Alcor to be deep frozen when he dies. Okay, here's the doozy part, other than Thiel. When neurotechnology is just one cog in the transhumanist expansive agenda, how society approaches those advances may very well decide the fate of humanity 1.0. Between Brain X and advances in memory decoding, deep brain stimulation, and brain-to-robotic interactions, neurotechnology has already expanded human abilities well beyond what we once thought was possible, and it stands to do even more to minimize human suffering and maximize our well-being.
Right.
Because it's always sold that we can help the paralyzed,
yeah,
and the amputee.
Absolutely.
Do you know when they give somebody a limb that costs, you know, $5 billion or something, and they'll take pictures in the whole nine yards, you know what happens? They put it back on the shelf and they give the guy his hook back.
Hmm.
Now that stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, my husband was a veteran. I mean, there's where DARPA puts their money, through the National Science Foundation and the studies. The Converging Technology Study in 2000 is why we now already do have enhanced human performance. It's all about enhancing us. You know, God made us.
Yeah.
You know, they're reverse engineering brains. I mean, we need to know what's going on here, but more than anything else, we need to know God. And like you said, we need to be on our knees praying with our Bible in front of us, reading it. Because if we don't know the Word of God and we don't know Jesus, we don't have a chance.
Amen.
And I'm sorry.
And speaking of the Holy Spirit, you know, if we just had a few more Abram Verides to interpret for it. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
No, not
that
so much.
That was Doug Coe and Company, and we can have Michelle Bachman and everybody else. The woman who was
and
in
Michael
the Capitol
Flynn.
All day on January 6th.
Yeah, and Michael Flynn reciting, you know.
Oh, yes, God help us.
Prayers from Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and, you know, this gets back to my point about, you know, earlier today about the Holy Spirit. And man, oh, man, oh, man.
Or
I mean,
the
Jesus
personality
said,
who doesn't need to repent of any sins.
Yeah, Jesus said some interesting things.
As President of the United States.
Jesus said some interesting things. He said, it's good that I go. I will send the helper. If I don't go, you don't get the helper. So it's good that I go. And he also said greater works than these. Now, how is it possible, greater works? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, this is... In today's modern Western demagoguery, Western esoteric demagoguery, you know, we've completely lost sight of that. So, anyway.
Well, the other thing is greater works than these people, I think also, please pray for a man, Ray Greenlee. He's a pastor on the radio. He broke his leg and hip almost three, four months ago, and he's praying for God to heal him. And I'm like, get a cast. I mean, it started with his leg, then he fell down two more times. I'm like, didn't he even splint it? You know, I mean, God gives us common sense. We need to think. We need to think. And we need to trust and believe in Jesus blindly, but that doesn't mean that we throw caution to the wind at the same time. We need to think. We need to observe. We need to know. And we need to not believe every video we watch.
Amen.
So I thank you. I thank you. And if you're looking up stuff about AA, a website I remember is Orange's website. Because when I was researching Christian cults, this thing kept coming up in my search results. And I was thinking, oh, disgruntled alcoholics that can't stay sober, you know. And then finally, after, you know, weeks and weeks, I was like, well, let me see what one of these things says. And I was like, oh. How did I, you know, and if you look at the 12 steps, nowhere does it talk about repentance.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't talk about repentance. And,
no,
and I always used to tell people, anyway, be careful what you tell your sponsor, somebody you did wrong, because if it's really criminal, be real careful
absolutely.
Who you tell it to.
Yeah. My big beef, you know, I mean... That's, you know, that's an oversimplification, but my big the one glaring issue for me, I went through a period where I was looking at the subject, the New Testament Greek word dunamis, the same word, speaking of the Holy Spirit and this power of God, you know, I was exploring this concept of dunamis, the same word we get dynamite from, the same Greek root. And so, you know, the idea that we realize we were powerless, what is that? That's a complete denial of God. We were powerless. He says, behold, all things, you know, the old things passed away. You know, he has made us a new creation. And there is power in that, you know, for the Christian who draws near to him and prays and allows the power of the Holy Spirit to work in and through their life. And that's a complete denial of God. We realize we're powerless. It's like they're creating legions of eunuchs, spiritual eunuchs.
And a higher power is anything that you decide.
Right.
It's humanism
exactly.
Through and through, the God of your own making.
Yep. Yep.
And but it feels oh so spiritually right. It's like Catholicism. Mm-hmm. It feels right, and mm-hmm. It feels oh so spiritual. And it'd take you well on for years and years and years, and then you have Christian 12-step programs.
It's the
that's
Masonic
no better.
Tradition, making good men better. Speaking of that, if you search, if people do a search for, I think it's interesting, you do a search for Abraham Verity, one of the, I think the top autocomplete option is Abraham Verity Freemason.
Yeah, so, surprise, surprise.
There you go. Anyway.
Surprise, surprise. It's, and they actually, a lot of it had to do with breaking up unions, and not caring anything about the poor, because if the poor really believed in God, God would help them.
Yeah. Here's another fun, you know, again, I mean, like all roads lead back to this, you know, ecumenical, it's
yes.
Not ecumenism, it's theosophical, you know, it's the same stuff that Blavatsky and Bailey and, you know, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, all these people have been writing about for over 100 years. But one of the other characters you will encounter with Verity is William Branham, obviously, and that's a whole different discussion. We got other calls, so I should probably
and
not
also
even bring that
Doug
up.
Coe, and the whole thing about the National Prayer Breakfast, or all the meetings that they have in the weeks around it with foreign leaders and most are dictatorships.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter that they don't believe in God or they believe in anything else, because Jesus is there too.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it is twisted, but it all has to do with nation-state stuff. And look at the mess we are in. Okay? Thank
yeah.
you, thank
yeah.
you, thank you. God bless you. And check out Orange's website. You'll find some information that probably leads you to... There are a lot of websites, but I can't get to my favorite.
What is it?
Orange. Oh, orange, like an orange. Eat an orange.
Orange's website. I'm not...
O-R-A-N-G-E. If you do a search, you'll find him.
I'm not sure that's going to...
He has a lot
gonna...
of history of AA and facts.
Is that a person?
Yeah, but that's not his name.
Hmm.
But that's
okay.
The name of the website.
Well, that's going to be challenging, I think, for folks to find. I don't know that I'm familiar with that.
I wouldn't either, but it kept coming up. And then when I found it, it has a lot of information. But there's some other good Christian websites, too. Some good blogs that are for 12-step programs for about the truth.
Yeah.
And but don't talk to 12-step people about it. They'll get very upset.
Yeah.
You will be out of their life. And I'm like, but I'm not talking about you. I'm just trying to process my own stuff here. You know, isn't that what this is all about?
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
Am I tipping at your sacred cow? Oops. Sorry. Why are you so upset?
Yeah. It's kind of like the New Apostolic Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Lynn.
All right.
Much
Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe.
Thank you. You as well.
Right, thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, before we go back to the phones, be Bereans. You know, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And also, I feel like somebody said something about, you know, reading 1 John, you know, chapters 4 and 5 in particular, I think. And, you know, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And we've had this conversation before. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. It's the Gnostic tradition, you know. He's the demiurge. No, not so much. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Is it already in the world? So anyway, 1 John chapter 4, test the spirits. Acts 17:11, search the scriptures daily to see for yourself. And, you know, compare those things. It's so interesting. I had a conversation with another dear friend recently who's asking people, you know, how do you know? What is your confirmation that this or that is from God? And people will say, you know, I get a tingly feeling, or, you know, something like the hair on my arm stands up, or just wacky stuff. What is going on? This obviously is of a, you know, I would say a particularly Christian bent, but not really. Because all of America is being drawn into this ecumenical, more specifically theosophical conflict. What Lynn and I were just talking about. You hear two sides of the conflict. The Christian fundamentalists, what really do quite literally represent kind of the Christian Taliban, so to speak. The oxymoron of the Christian Taliban. And then, of course, you have the other side of that, the you know, like what Lynn was talking about, the look at what's going on with the woke stuff, so to speak, just to kind of give it context. You have two sides of a conflict that are being thrown at each other. It's like, you know, it's like a dogfight, or, you know, other similar things. These forces are being drawn apart, being propagandized to the point of being rabid toward one another, and they're really not probably as much enemies as they might perceive. There are, you know, they're both, quite frankly, psychically injured. They're, Manchurian candidates, in a sense. They don't know what they're doing. So forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. It's been an interesting broadcast. You know, to Charles and to James that we missed you guys. The post that I mentioned, you know, if you're interested in any of this stuff that I'm talking about, take a look at Mark Jones's post over at desiringgod.org titled, Why Jesus Needed the Holy Spirit. And maybe think about, maybe pray about this concept of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I think it's every bit as relevant today as it was the days that Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. And I think that it's happening. I think it's more prevalent, as prevalent or more today than it's ever been. Because you know, speaking of the things that Lynn was talking about, if you read Kurzweil's The Age of Spiritual Machines, the title says it all, for Pete's sake. What is a spiritual machine? You listen to the tech overlords who have stared into the abyss for decades, and some of the apostates of the community, like Jaron Lanier, they do think that they are, you know, they fancy themselves as gods, and they should run things, and this is a mindset, and it leans into dark spiritual forces again. If not, then why are guys like Elon Musk and Jordy Rose and folks talking about summoning things? Well, when we're working with AI, we're summoning stuff. You're what? I thought it was just logic gates and math. What are you summoning? So slowly, it's all coming out into plain view. And these guys, you know, they think that people are, even the defectors, even the apostates, like Jaron Lanier, will say, you know, that these guys think that people are just cybernetic feedback loops. Which sounds exactly like what the World Economic Forum contingent is saying. And that is true, I think, if we are without God, basically. We are the automatons. We are the, He is the only life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So without that, we are all, wait, I think Pike wrote about that. The disillusioned multitude, you know, the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, but not really. It's that counterfeit stuff mentioned in the prologue of the Union Jack, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, you know, because of the vacuum that's created. Hydra is very good at creating the vacuum. What fills it? Anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out into public view. This manifestation will result in the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. So wrote Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini back in 1871. It's happening, right out in plain sight. The ecumenical movement, aka theosophy, is plain evidence of it, right out in plain sight. I hope it was informative. I hope you have a great weekend. Please support the network, pray for one another, and that'll do it for today's broadcast. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.